hurt so many nights. Cried so
hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to yet another episode of the Rain Delay Podcast. If you thought the last two episodes in 1 week, you thought that outro would be over, no. One more coming right your way. This time, I'll be doing another solo episode as Luke is back to school. I go back to school in a matter of 2 days. Technically today. Today is August 15th. Hopefully, it'll be out by the end of today. And I go back the 17th. So, today we'll be going over preseason week one recap, indications, and probably expectations for some teams. I know a lot of people are saying, why are you rushing into the NFL? Preseason doesn't really show a lot, but in my opinion, yes, it does. You see a lot of rookie performances. You see a couple drives with the starters. You see a lot of, you know, that change in dynamics with teams now that they have new coaches. It shows a lot, and I feel like if you want to be a really successful podcast, you got to show every single update. You got to really provide every single detail, and I'm here to do that today. So starting off with the Hall of Fame game. That was a great game. Well, the Raiders actually played twice. The Hall of Fame game is technically part of week one. It's a week in itself. They did beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 27-11. And there wasn't a lot of action there besides two big factors. The Jaguars really had Trayvon Walker, their first round pick, come into the game. He was great, in my opinion. A lot of people said he didn't really show that explosiveness as he was in college, but he did have a sack early in the first quarter, and then that came by with three assist tackles. So I really liked him in this game. He showed that downhill speed he was in college. He also showed that aggression and that athleticism. You could see really blasting around the left side a lot of the plays, and I really liked that in him. I think he could really provide, you know, an extra rusher with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I see he's speedy, but he also has that, you know, downhill speed where you can really just manage from having a stable feet instantly into a quick speed boost. And I really like that about the Jacksonville Jaguars, how they're getting their young pieces of the puzzle together to really form a successful team. You have Travis Etienne coming back. You're going to have Trevor Lawrence and then Christian Kirk and then Trayvon Walker on the defensive side. So a lot of small young pieces to this puzzle that could really help them become a successful team in years to come. So I really like that for the Jacksonville Jaguars, although they only scored 11 points. That's why I'm not really bringing anything, because they didn't have a lot of offensive indications you should look for, but the Raiders did. With new coach McDaniels, they kind of had a new dynamic. They started off with the run heavy in the first half, which really worked. Josh Jacobs had explosive runs, a 12-yard run, which really showed that he's slept upon this year. Over the last few years, Josh Jacobs has really been a very good rusher for the Raiders. Back-to-back 1,000 rushing yard years in 2019 and 2020. Then 2021, he had 872-yard year with 9 touchdowns. And he averaged 4 yards a carry, so he wasn't terrible. He was a great running back. He was around the running back 12 last year, and I really like him this year. So I feel like McDaniels really knows how to utilize that, along with this pass-friendly offense this year with Davante Adams and Derek Carr. I also wanted to mention one more guy, and that's someone I'm really high on, and that guy is Zamir White. He's another running back that I really like. This was his first game. He was the rookie, and he rushed for 52 yards on 11 rushes, and he averaged 4.7 yards a game. I really liked him because he showed that explosiveness. Then on the other side of the ball, he had 3 receptions for 23 yards. So I really liked that explosiveness he had. He kind of showed more, I want to say, patience, and I want to say more explosiveness than Josh Jacobs, as he really kind of waited for that gap, then really punched it through with that 14-yard run. You could kind of see that. He waited for the gap, then exploded. While Josh Jacobs is kind of more on the run heavy, he's kind of just plow right through. Zamir White is really going to be a key aspect for this run game this year. So overall, there wasn't a lot of key parts in this game, but you got to focus on the small pieces of the part with the Raiders with a new coach and the Jaguars with their first round pick kind of showing some potential. I like that game, but it wasn't one of the most exciting ones. We'll move on to the actual week one of football, And this, we'll start off with, we'll go from latest, we'll go from the recent to the latest. We'll go from the Raiders and the Vikings. Now, although this is back-to-back Raiders, I want to mention someone, Nick Mullins. He had a great game. He was 7 for 9, 94 yards, and threw a great touchdown late in the game. And I like this player, you know. I feel like he was very slept upon with the Niners. I don't really know why he really got released, but I liked him. He had that 34-yard strike to DJ Turner to really put the Vikings down by three possessions. So I like Nick Mullins. I think his athleticism really does well. His arm strength is one of the best parts about him. And I think in 2018, 2020 for the Niners, he had a great season. Although he only had around 2,400 yards, he did have good streaks where he could really push them into playoff potential. Of one of those seasons, I think it was 2018, they weren't well. 2020, they were actually decent, and I think he's a decent quarterback. I think he's going to prove himself as a solid backup for Derek Carr if he does go down, and I think Nick Mullins could be the guy to step up, as he once was a starter for a team. I also want to mention that Kenyon Drake, he's going to be the backup for Josh Jacobs. He wasn't the greatest. I don't understand the hype around him, but it's someone to note that he did do. He was getting, you know, the runs. But one person I really like was the running back, Britton Brown. He is also a youngster. He had 14 rushes, 54 yards, and a one touchdown. He had that late touchdown, just a 1 to 2 yard touchdown. I liked him. I think he really showed himself as kind of a guy you could play on third down potential. He really fought for that extra yard, as it showed on that touchdown where he really plowed through. I just think that the Raiders this year, they're going to be more, this is going to be a hot take, they're actually going to run it 50-50 with the pass game, although the pass game should be going 75-25 with what they're having. I think they're going to be decent on the run game, and they're going to really prove themselves as a good team with Josh McDaniels as the coach. Because Josh McDaniels, he knows how to utilize those running backs, because Patriots did have James White. They did have Blount. They did have Damian Harris. They had Lamondre Stevenson. They had guys who were all very pass friendly, also run heavy running backs who were decent on both sides of the football. So I like that game. But on the Vikings side, I really want to highlight one key person, and that was Kellen Mond. He was really the good spot for this team. Although he is in his second year, he hasn't really got potential to really play. He only had one game really to show himself, and that was for about, what, 3 plays? He had a 5-yard pass, a little dinker, and that was about it. So this year, I hope they use him if Kirk Cousins goes down. Kellen Mond did amazing. 9 for 14, 2 touchdowns, and both of them were to Albert Wilson, the ex-Dolphin, the veteran. So I like Kellen Mond. I think he was very patient in the pocket, and he really showed himself as learning under Kirk Cousins with the mobility, yet he also showed that arm strength. He was very, you know, patient, and I like that about quarterbacks, where they could really stay in the pocket and know when to move, not really become a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, where you need that first step out of the pocket and just run. I like Kellen Mond in this game, and I think Vikings have a good future with him in a couple of years. We'll move on. Chargers and Rams. There wasn't much there, because they both had, as both teams who are really, really high expectations, they really only brought out their bench players this game, and there wasn't much there. We did get to see Isaiah Spiller, which is the only thing I'll mention about this game. Isaiah Spiller could be the potential backup for Austin Ekeler this season. Isaiah Spiller had 10 rushes for 34 yards, not the greatest game, 3.4 average yards per game, but I totally don't really get the hype around Isaiah Spiller. He did have one reception for 10 yards. He's going to prove himself as, although Austin Ekeler is going to be the main guy, he's going to prove himself as a guy that can lend a helping hand if Austin Ekeler is being overrun into the ground like last year, or if Austin Ekeler needs a hand or gets into an injury, like how Joshua Kelly was in last year. So overall, I think this game was very meant for kind of backup players. There wasn't much there, and they didn't have the highest first-round picks, so there wasn't much to highlight there. But there is something to highlight in the Broncos and Dallas game. They were practicing together all week, and it looked like the Broncos had the majority over the Cowboys. And I want to mention someone real quick I'm high about this year. That's Jalen Tolbert. He had a problem that game. He was targeted 7 times, only caught 2 balls for 10 yards. And it really showed that he was kind of worrying about his next step instead of worrying about the ball being placed right there in front of him. And I didn't like that in a wide receiver like him. I want to see him like he was in college, where he makes something out of the ball. He catches the ball, then makes his move. He was very, I want to say, irresponsible with the football this game, as he had a lot of drops, he had a lot of mistakes, and most importantly, I just didn't like him that game. But now, I'm going to talk about someone else on the Broncos side, and that was the quarterback Josh Johnson. He's had a long year. He's played for multiple teams. I want to say 5 teams. Yeah, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, Washington, Baltimore, New York Jets, and he's going to prove himself as a great backup this year. 16 for 23, 172 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And these weren't just, you know, bad touchdowns. This guy really scored when you needed him, in a way that a lot of Broncos fans were kind of excited by what he was doing out there on the football field. He scored in the first 2 halves, and the first touchdown was a 24-yard touchdown to Kendall Hinton. And I just think that this guy was really athletic. He really knew what to do with the football, having that veteran background. And I think that's really going to complement Russell Wilson if he does go into another injury like last year. So moving on from the Broncos, we can move into the Texans Saints. And this one, it's not just, you know, a garbage game where there was a couple players who are really going to be brought into this rookie hype, and that is Dameon Pierce, who is now moved up in his ADP. He's now going from undrafted to around the 15 to 16 round in fantasy. Dameon Pierce had 5 rushes for 49 yards, an average of 9.8 yards a carry, and 20-yard long rush earlier. And he had explosiveness, speed, agility, and he could raise up as one of the Houston's leading running backs this year, as their running backs are not impressive at all. They have 6 running backs this year. Dameon Pierce is currently the 3rd. It's Marlon Mack is number 1, who he does not deserve a starting spot. I don't care what anyone says. Rex Burkhead at 2, then Dameon Pierce, and the rest of the 3 are not the greatest. So I think Dameon Pierce could really rise up and be one of Houston's explosive running backs and get that RB1 spot this year. Another person I want to mention is Jalen Camp. A lot of people haven't heard of him this year, but I liked him. He had a 49-yard long catch, and he also had a good catch, and he had 1 touchdown. This guy really showed that he's a big body deep threat, and I liked what he was doing this game. I liked how he was really providing himself as a deep threat for this Texans team that's lacking wide receiver potential this year. They lost Menchie. He has leukemia. And their wide receivers besides that are not the brightest besides Brandon Cooks. Then it's Nico Collins, Chris Conley. So Jalen Camp, right now he's the wide receiver 7, but I think he could rise up after proving himself as the 6'2", 220 wide receiver. He's 24 years old. I really think he could be a good aspect to this team. It could complement Brandon Cook's small, short body. He could be the tall, deep threat guy. Moving on to the Saints side, there wasn't anything to mention here. Andy Dalton had a great game. He was 5 for 5, 51 yards, and a touchdown. There wasn't much about this Saints team that you could really say, oh, everyone was waiting for Chris Olave, their rookie wide receiver, to do something. He only had 1 catch, so nothing really impressive there. But overall, I think this game was really more on the Texans side, where you can look at different players and you could really analyze who you think is going to rise up in a team that needs a lot of different positions. So then now, moving on to the Dolphins and Buccaneers. Now, there wasn't much in this game besides the fact that the Buccaneers, they were trying out different running backs because this year Leonard Fournette is the only starting one, and there wasn't much there. They had Rashad White, the rookie, and he was all right this game. 7 rushes, 32 yards. He had a long of 12. I feel like he's going to be one of the guys, maybe a backup. He's going to be more involved on the pass friendly. He had 2 receptions for 13 yards. Nothing much in this game. I have a feeling that the Dolphins want to try out their running backs too, because this year they are probably one of the most depth running back teams. They have Chase Edmonds, Sony Michel, Miles Gaskin. All players play like each other. They're all catch friendly. They're all kind of short, speedy guys. Miles Gaskin had a big 20-yard rush. He showed that he wants to maintain his spot as the RB2 on this team. Then also someone who might be riding up as the wide receiver 3, Lynn Bowden Jr. He had 3 receptions, 55 yards, and a touchdown. And I think this guy, he has something here that you think you could maybe utilize on this team that now has Tyreek Hill and has Jalen Waddle. But, you know, before that, they didn't have a history of having great wide receivers. So I think this guy could really prove himself as one of the guys who can complement Tua Tagovailoa and really surround him with catch-friendly receivers. So I like that of Lynn Bowden Jr. I think he was explosive. That 29-yard gain he had earlier really showed that he really knew to make a right cut. He had great route running. He was great with quarterback Skylar Thompson. So I think these guys, they're a young team, they're rising up, and I think they could do something this year once Tua comes into the mix. Moving on is my most anticipated game, a game that I really, really liked, and it was the Seahawks and Steelers. Now, here's the thing. You had the quarterback committee of Drew Locke and Geno Smith. Both had a decent game, but Drew Locke was really the bright spot. He was 11 for 15, 2 touchdowns and 102 yards. DJ Dallas was the main running back, and he could really prove as a rising up RB2 this year. They have 3 main running backs, Rashad Penny, DJ Dallas, and their rookie Walker. So I think DJ Dallas is going to prove himself as now a main running back now that he has most of the field for himself. He had 10 rushes, 73 yards, but then on receiving side, later he had an amazing catch from amazing throw by Drew Locke, amazing catch by DJ Dallas, and he really knew to dive for that pylon and get that 17-yard touchdown, explosive play. And I think this team, they're slept upon this year. Their prediction is to go around 5-12, but I think if Drew Locke proves himself as the QB1, I don't think Geno Smith deserves it. I think this team can maybe do some damage. They already have the wide receivers they need. Their run game has good potential. Rashad Penny did have the most rushing yards in the last 4 weeks. So I think this team could be all right. Moving on to the Steelers side, though, I would make a whole podcast episode about these guys. All 3 quarterbacks had amazing games. They all threw at least 1 touchdown. Mason Rudolph went 9 for 15, 93 yards and a touchdown. Mitch Trubisky went 4 for 7 and 63 yards and a touchdown. But the main guy, Kenny Pickett, he threw as much touchdowns as he did incompletions, 13 for 15, 95 yards and 2 touchdowns. And they were explosive. Gunnar Olszewski, excuse me if I butchered his name, the ex-Patriot kick returner, he was explosive earlier in the game. Mitch Trubisky avoided getting the sack, rolled out, and with the veteran I saw Olszewski right down the field wide open and struck first. Then you had George Pickens setting key blocks, as you may have seen in the recent viral video of him smashing one of the Seahawks DBs back about 5 yards. He had an amazing over-the-shoulder back catch around the back of the end zone, and he really capitalized for that team having that 26-yard touchdown. He was 3 receptions for 43 yards, and I like this team. I think if they have all 3 quarterbacks producing and add in George Pickens, add in Najee Harris, add in Deontay Johnson, add in Pat Freiermuth, these guys could be good. These guys could be a winning team in a bad division. The Browns sure as hell weren't doing anything well, excuse my language, including, I don't think, besides the Ravens, and maybe the Ravens have possibly a big bust coming in. They could bust this season. It all comes down to their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, and how he wants to handle this offense without Marquise Hollywood Brown. But I think Steelers have potential. Speeding it up now, I'm going to cut it down to my 3 favorite teams now. I'm going to skip scum because the Browns against Jaguars didn't really show anything, except Deshaun Watson, he was horrendous. He was 1 for 5, 7 yards, and even in practice, a lot of people were saying that he was overthrowing balls. He was looking atrocious. Joshua Dobbs looked better. He was 10 for 13, 108 yards and a touchdown. So even he could step up as one of the backup quarterbacks while Deshaun Watson is facing that suspension. So nothing much there except you got to worry about Deshaun Watson. In the Bengals game, nothing much there either. Trace McSorley had himself a game. He had 13 for 22, 163 yards and a touchdown. Nothing much to really talk about in this game as both teams really are expecting more on the starters this year, so we can move on from them. But I want to talk about one game. We'll talk about two more games, and that is three more games, excuse me. I'm everywhere right now. I'll talk about the Giants, Patriots, Niners, Packers, and the Commanders and Panthers. We'll start with the Niners and Packers. This looked like a regular season football game. Jordan Love, besides the three interceptions, most of them were really silly throws by a really young quarterback. He looked good. He looked sharp. I think this guy could really prove himself as a team, as a quarterback who could step up when Rodgers decides to step down. I like this guy, and although he hasn't had the most opportunities, he really has that veteran aspect of the game now that he's been stepping behind one of the best quarterbacks in the league and one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL history. So I think this guy could really prove himself as a generational talent for this team after Aaron Rodgers decides to step down. The main guy I want to mention on this Packers team is Romeo Doubs, the wide receiver Rodgers has been talking up in practice, the wide receiver that was shining out with a 33-yard touchdown. He used three receptions, 45 yards. He was explosive that game. He knew what to make with the next moves. He was sharp with his routes. He had amazing catches, great hands. And I feel like this guy could really prove himself as the young wide receiver that could grow up in the hands of Aaron Rodgers this season. On the Niners side, there wasn't much to talk about besides Trey Lance throwing that 76-yard touchdown to, excuse me, Danny Gray. 99 yards, two receptions, one touchdown, and I think this team has a lot of young talent that could really prove themselves as a playoff potential team. Trey Lance was 4 for 5, 92 yards, a touchdown. He does deserve this starting spot. Danny Gray, with wide receivers like Deebo and Brandon Ayuk, Danny Gray could be the wide receiver 3. Two receptions, 99 yards, and a touchdown. He made quick and shift moves after he caught that 76-yard touchdown and turned on the Jets. Another player I like is Ray McLeod, the ex-Steelers special teamer. He was great. 4 for 4, 63 yards, and a touchdown. He had explosive moves, too. He's a quick, agile threat for this Niners team. And just when you think it can be enough with Deebo and Brandon Ayuk, Ray McLeod could be in this mix this year. Moving on, I'm going to talk about the Panthers and the Commanders. Now, this is one of my favorite games because this was a quarterback showcase. Baker Mayfield started the game. Then we got to see Matt Corral and Sam Darnold all in one field. We also got to see on the Commanders' side, Sam Howell take control, same with Carson Wentz and Taylor Heinicke. So starting off on the Commanders' side, Carson Wentz came into the game trying to prove himself as he's not washed. He went 10 for 13, 74 yards. He made moves that were very veteran-like. He stepped forward in the pocket, made sharp passes. He also knew when to scramble out, when to throw the ball away, and I think he could be a starter for the weeks on, but one person I love this season is Sam Howell. This guy is explosive. Mark my words, he is going to be one of the best rookie quarterbacks this year when given the opportunity. 9 for 16, 145 yards, and that's not even impressive. The impressive thing was this rushing game. 19 yards, he had a 17-yard touchdown, and two touchdowns on the ground. This guy was spinning. This guy was juking. He was crashing. He had that speed. He had that, you know, aggression. He wanted to win this game. He acted like it was a regular season. Those are the best rookie quarterbacks when they know that when the ball is their hands, they want to make it as best as they can to win the game. Sam Howell, his spot could be the quarterback one in due time. On the Panthers side, Baker Mayfield wasn't very impressive. He was 4 for 7, 45 yards. I have a feeling that this Panthers team is going to be very, I want to say, it's going to be very bipolar. At some times, they're going to have Baker Mayfield in and have good moments, and then at bad times, they're going to have Baker Mayfield having bad moments. Then they're going to switch to Sam Darnold. And Then they're going to switch to Matt Corral. But Matt Corral, he was the most unimpressive quarterback I've seen this week. 1 for 9. He, quote-unquote, led his team to a game-winning situation, which isn't totally true. At the end of the game, it was total, just total nothing. It was all up to the running game. They just kept running the ball, and there was penalties that came in on illegal contact. He went 1 for 9, and Zane Gonzalez stepped up for a 45-yard field goal. So it wasn't really impressive at all to see a quarterback go 1 for 9 when he is hyped up as could be a starter quarterback as a rookie in a field of veterans. So overall, the main focal point now is the Washington Commanders quarterback situation. What's going to go down? I like both of them this year, and I think Sam Howell has some potential, and I think he could be great this season. Moving on to the last game I want to talk about, I also want to mention before, in the Tennessee game, Kyle Hamilton did pick up a fumble, so good for him. He had that speed that no one could see, that athleticism. He's proving why he is one of the best safeties in the draft. He covered 10 yards in a matter of 3 yards. He sprinted, he picked up the ball, and he immediately made sure his team got possession of it. It was an amazing play. I think this guy really has some potential. The aggression, the speed, the young threat for this Ravens defense that really needs someone to step up in the secondary. But the main focal point I just want to mention is Malik Willis, 6 for 11, 107 yards, and he did have a touchdown on the ground. He was spinning. He dove. But main thing was he was throwing football sidearms. He was making plays. He was making smart plays. Ryan Tannehill sure taught him right, because this guy, he knew when to step up in the pocket, but he also knew when to scramble out and make smart moves. This quarterback is smart. This quarterback is fast. And this quarterback can make the smart passes. Even though it's for 3 yards, it's better than getting sacked. And I think Malik Willis has good potential, even though they lost this game. Moving on to the final game, I want to talk about this Giants and Patriots game. Two first-round picks. One was the first pick, fifth pick, and one was the seventh pick. We had Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal showcase themselves. One did great and one did bad. Evan Neal, you know, the problem with him was his balance. You know, Evan Neal, he's known for forcing himself, pushing himself with all of his weight onto the defensive back, onto the defensive rusher. And I think that's the problem with him. He has no patience. He has no really back strength where he can push off. He could do something. He could cover two backs. And he was really disappointing for me. Although he did have good plays where he was a leading block for Saquon Barkley, I just didn't like it entirely, where he really had times where he would force himself onto the defensive back and just fall down completely and just pancake himself. But Kayvon Thibodeau, I liked. That guy had downhill speed that was unlike any other. He really knew when to chop the block and speed around. He forced incompletions. He rushed the quarterback 2 times that game. And I think he was great this game. I think he didn't show himself a lot, but he really showed himself as aggressive and smart. And he knew when to have that hezzy and the chop block at one point to rush the quarterback. It was amazing. And I think this Giants team, I'm not biased, I'm honest, this Giants team has something here, and I'm here for it all. And one player I want to talk about is, well, two players I want to talk about is Colin Johnson and Richie James Jr., two wide receivers that could rise up with Kenny Golladay, Darius Slayton, and Sterling Shepard kind of being disappointing over the last couple of years. Colin Johnson was 8 for 7, 82 yards, and he was just everywhere that game. He was making open catches. He was kind of a big body. He made smart moves to really just get that extra yard, and I liked him. Richie James Jr. had that explosive play where he really cut left and cut right, immediately juking out the defensive back into the end zone for a touchdown and having that bobbling catch. And finally for the Giants team, Tyrod Taylor, 13 for 21, 129 yards and a touchdown. Here's my bold take. He should start over Daniel Jones. This guy was a veteran. He was smart with the football. And people forget, at one point, he was making playoff runs for teams. People forget that in 2017, he made a playoff run for the Buffalo Bills. He had 2,799 yards, 14 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. Then after that, he was bombed by injuries in Cleveland, where he got hurt, Baker Mayfield come into the mix. Then with the Chargers, he finally started getting that back, but then Justin Herbert came in. And then with the Houston Texans, he did have good games, but he was plagued with injuries. So if this guy could have a healthy season like he did in Buffalo, he could be a starter for this team. He was stepping up in the pocket. He rolled out at the right time. He made smart moves, and he knew not to get sacked like Daniel Jones, who did take one huge sack on a third down instead of throwing it away. So I think Tyrod Taylor this season, he's going to know how to utilize and how to pick up this mess of an offense like he did in Buffalo. On the Patriots side, I just want to mention one player before we end the podcast, because we're over 30 minutes now. I told Luke I would keep it short, but you know, when we're talking about football, there's a lot to mention. Christian Wilkerson. With Patriots losing N'Keal Harry, and with Patriots having wide receivers who are kind of on the old side, like Devontae Parker, who's 29 years old, and Nelson Aguilar, who's 29 years old, they have not the greatest wide receivers this season. They have Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar, and then Traquan Thornton, but I like this Christian Wilkerson guy. He was 12 for 8, 99 yards, and he was amazing. He was a big body, he made explosive catches, and he mossed one of my guys, one of my corners, I forgot who it was, but Christian Wilkerson, he could be a big body receiver who could really make big explosive plays and help Mac Jones with that deep threat this year. Also, I want to mention Traquan Thornton. He had a 9-yard kind of fade. He looked like Michael Crabtree for a second. Being a rookie this year, I think he could also help with his big body presence, as they need that a lot, because Mac Jones, they were the highest ranked for slowest paced offense in the NFL last season. So if Mac Jones is someone to air it out this season, these two guys could be the ones, as both of them are on the young side. This will wrap it up for the NFL preseason podcast and expectations. This has been a great episode. This is Marcus Ferruzzi with more content coming your way. I hope you have a great rest of your evening and have a great rest of your week. Goodbye.